This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Brian Wheeler joins us live in studio. He's the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow, joins us on Tuesdays to talk growth and development. Thank you for your patience. Had to get a little business out of the way. I appreciate it. How are you?
Very good. Glad
it's
to be
good
here.
To see you. What do you think about lowering the drinking age to 18?
Oh, Coy.
I feel like I spring that one on you.
Have me back for another show.
You know, I said this in the last hour, and I do feel this way. I really could argue it both ways. I don't know how I feel about it. And I don't want to cop out on the question, but I truly could really argue it passionately for 21 and 18. You know, and both sides of the fence there, sort of what Castine was doing. You know, I can see both sides. Somebody convince me, you know.
Well, I do want to talk about drinking, but drinking water.
There you go. Let's do that. We're going to talk about drinking water here in Charlottesville, and which takes us to the topic of water supply and the beautiful South Fork of the Rivanna Reservoir.
It is beautiful. It's shrinking. And I was out on a boat with the head coach of the women's rowing team, Kevin Sauer. On Friday, I joined the task force that's studying the South Fork Reservoir, a.k.a. the dredging task force.
Yeah.
They don't like to be called that.
They don't?
They want to be called the stewardship task force because they're trying to think 50 years, what do we need to do for this reservoir?
Not
for
just
recreation,
dredging.
For water needs, et cetera.
Dredging may be just one part of that formula.
Right. But I point that
out. Good
point.
Just
to help the public connect the dots.
Yeah, about it's
these
a good point. Because they're going to come back to the table with a lot more than just dredging.
Yes.
They may say, we need a dock over here or, you know, a whole bunch of ideas.
Or they could say, you know, the sediment piling up in this location's okay. We like what it's doing there. We just don't want it over here.
Yeah.
But they are in the fact-finding mode, this commission. So one of the members of the commission, Mark Fletcher, who represents UVA and their recreational interest, mainly rowing, suggested at the task force's first meeting they should get out there and really see the reservoir. From people who know it very well.
And that rowing team, which, by the way, created an Olympic gold medal winner.
Got some gold medals, yeah.
How about that?
And Kevin Sauer has been on the reservoir for 20 years. So he's been out in a boat every week on that reservoir.
So he should know what's...
He knows...
He's been watching it change.
Yeah. So they had three little boats. I didn't quite know what to expect. I didn't know if they were going to put us in the rowing boats, you know, make us work.
Yeah. when was this?
This was Friday morning. A beautiful day. We got there at 7:30. The media showed up in force. And so they had to do two different expeditions. They could put five people on one of these little boats. And there are plenty of pictures of this up on Seaville Tomorrow's website.
Yeah, and I want to strongly encourage folks to check this out. I always enjoy your website. But you have a slideshow tour of this tour. Awesome, Brian.
Put together 21 minutes of audio and slides. You know, I didn't want to take our expensive video camera out on the water.
So just in case.
I took the still camera and set a bunch of still images to the audio. But, you know, I basically put a wireless mic on Kevin Sauer and recorded his commentary as we're driving all around the reservoir.
Very cool.
It was fascinating. And Kevin showed the task force members and the media where the reservoir has gone down. It's gone down about 3 feet 7 inches as of yesterday. Last Friday, it was 3 feet 2 inches. So just over the weekend, we lost another 5 inches of height on that reservoir. And the Rivanna
is that
water
drought or is that just
yes? Well, it's both.
Yeah.
It's usage and not being resupplied.
Right.
So it's a combination of those
Gosh.
Things. But he showed where some great examples of how a couple things have changed in his 20 years. He's definitely noticing the sediment. Parts of the reservoir are getting shallower, so the areas they can maneuver their boats is less than what it used to be. And with the reservoir down 3 feet, he showed us an island that's now exposed and visible. And he said before, to see that island connected all the way to the land, it took a 6-foot drop of the reservoir to see that. So we're seeing things today that are the result of 3 feet of drop in volume, which says there's more sediment being piled up on that island right there.
Yeah.
The other thing that was interesting, Coy, was the aquatic plants growing in the reservoir that he said have only appeared in the past 2 years. So during the past 2 years, this he called it grass. This grass has grown up, and I don't know the scientific name of this plant, And there was some debate by the commission members as to whether it was an invasive species or something that's natural. But from the head coach's perspective, it was new, certainly invasive in his realm over the past 2 years. And so that's another factor this commission's going to have to look at. What's causing that? Is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing?
Did you go up Ivy Creek at all, like under the bridge and then up Ivy Creek?
We did not go up that bridge. There are two bridges, of course, that right there at the reservoir proper.
Yeah.
Earliesville Road is the big one.
Right,
the
which smaller goes up one, to the airport. Yeah.
The smaller one is Woodlands Road. And under Woodlands is where the headwaters of the Ivy Creek are.
Yeah.
Up that direction. What was interesting about that, Coy, was he said after a severe thunderstorm, you can really see the plume of sediment from the Ivy Creek side.
Coming into the reservoir.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, you know, that's another little piece of information the task force will then work with and try to figure that out. But, he knows it well. We tried to communicate in this little slideshow the main points he was making, and I think the public will find it helpful for those that couldn't go there.
After you'd went on this tour and you were out there on the boat with this guy who's seen these changes for 20 years, and we're talking with Brian Wheeler, was the situation as bad as you thought, or was it worse or not as bad? What were your thoughts as you're like driving away, besides thinking, boy, I got to put this slideshow together?
I was surprised how quickly, as we went upstream, up the main, you know, river channel, as we went upstream, I was surprised how quickly we got to a point where you couldn't row any further.
You weren't expecting that.
That was like a mile and a half. I mean, it wasn't far.
Yeah.
And I'm saying you couldn't row. There weren't rowers there, but we were in the grass, and they basically stopped the boats and turned around. He pointed to places where hurricane, I don't remember the hurricane that came through.
When?
Not Camille way back when, but more recently.
In the 90s?
Yeah.
What was that one? In like 96, 98?
I'm blanking on the name. He says it in the tour.
96, there was one.
But he points out a place where that dropped a big load of sediment, huge tree trunks, and some of which they had to move out of the way. So my impression was, I was surprised how narrow it seemed. And there was another place where you get a very clear picture of new growth of trees, where he said, we used to row right through there, and you're looking at this.
And now there's ground and trees growing out of the ground.
Exactly.
Wow.
So that was pretty surprising.
Yeah, and this whole tour is available in an audio slideshow with pictures and audio. It's available at seavilletomorrow.org, and you just click on what when you go to seavilletomorrow.org?
If you go to our website, you'll see it in the list of top stories. It's probably the second story on our list, soon to be the third story. So if you just go to the homepage, you'll see it. Top of the website, there are three stories listed, and just click on the third story.
There you go. We're talking with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville Tomorrow, and we're talking growth and development, and we continue our discussion about the water supply, correct?
Sure. I mean, the other thing I wanted to point out on the water supply is that the Ravana Water and Sewer Authority is closely watching the water levels right now, and I'm sure WINA has been reporting this. Certainly, there's seasonal fluctuations in our usage, but right now, the community's use of water is pretty high. It's 30% over our winter water usage. Now, granted, in the summer, people are watering plants and things, but they're really encouraging people to conserve as much as possible.
I'm surprised they haven't called a drought yet.
Well, their model indicates that that's not required at this point. And the reason is, Coy, you know, they factor in the fact that trees are going to be losing their leaves soon. So the plants will be consuming less water. That allows the ground to recharge, and we should have some more water in the reservoirs. But they point out in this press release, groundwater recharge is at the lowest level since 2002. So they're watching the groundwater recharge, lowest recharge rate since 2002. And back to the reservoir tour, Kevin Sauer said it was the lowest he's seen the reservoir since 2002.
Wow.
So this 3 feet, almost 4 feet.
Right now, here dropped in the summer of 08.
He said it's the lowest he's seen it since 2002 during the big drought.
Yeah.
Now, again, the Water and Sewer Authority isn't panicking. They're not saying it's a drought condition now. They're keeping an eye on it. But that you don't often hear them tell the well water users to conserve. But in this press release, they said households dependent on well water should be most especially mindful of the opportunity to conserve as much water as possible during this period. So again, that groundwater recharge phenomenon where it's not happening the way it needs to be, they're really telling the well users, you got to watch out too. It's not just the urban water supply.
So we're in a possible drought situation.
Well, I don't even know.
Remember last summer, it was drought every other day, drought, drought, drought. And right now, it seems like we're in things are worse than then, but they're not saying drought.
They're not yet. Because, again, we're heading into this fall period where they think there'll be less consumption of water by both people and plants. And and hopefully we'll get some storms here.
And if that hurricane, whatever it is down there that they're watching, which is a big one, if that comes into the Gulf and then up the East Coast, woo!
Yeah, we could use one of those.
Yeah, we really could. Hopefully not serious flooding, but it'll be pretty serious. I think the one that came through here in 96, well, there was Hugo and there was Fran. And I think I remember Fran dumped a lot of storm here. We were living in a lot of rain. I think we were living out in Greenwood then. I remember it woke us up in the middle of the night when Fran came through. That was big. What else is going on with water?
Well, the Albemarle County Service Authority, that is the utility in the county that provides water and sewer services to the urban area. They got an interesting briefing last week. This story is going to be up on our website shortly, a little later this evening. But a couple things jumped out at me of interest, if I can find it in my notes.
Is this a pump station one?
Yeah.
About the pump station?
So you and I have talked about infrastructure. We've talked about needing to pump the sewage all around the county and get it treated over in the city.
They pump the poo down here to Charlottesville and clean it up.
They do. That comes from Crozet, but it also comes from 29 North. And we've got developments up there like the NGIC, the Ground Intelligence Center, which is now being called Ravana Station Military Base.
Yeah, I'm going to have to get used to that.
And North Point is a new development up past the airport along 29 up there, which hasn't started yet in force, but they need sewer.
And that's what's putting the delay on them. That and the market, I guess, the housing
right.
market.
So anyway, they got an update on the North Fork pump station, which is what they view as the infrastructure solution to this problem. There is a sewer treatment plant up there called Camelot. They need to close that as quickly as possible because it's outdated and needs to be replaced. So instead of treating it up that way, they want to pump it to Moores Creek in the city where they can treat it better, I guess.
Yeah. So they're going to, instead of building a brand new facility up there, they're just going to build a brand new pump station up there, which
That's
is a lot
right.
cheaper, and pump it down to Moores Creek.
Now, they don't have any firm figures on the cost yet. John Martin is one of the members of the board, and he was saying he last heard $38 million. Gary Fern, who's executive director, said he couldn't really comment on that. They are doing a study to figure out what the engineering needs are and what the costs are going to be. That's expected out in October. So this fall, we're going to get a hard number on that North Fork pump station. That's a huge piece of the public infrastructure that ratepayers are going to be paying for. But that will facilitate the existing developments out there that rely on Camelot, but also allow for new development to happen. One of the key questions, it's interesting, in their discussion, they talked about whether they should pump it or let gravity take over and let it just follow the North Fork River via gravity, because the North Fork eventually goes to Moores Creek, which is a facility on the Ravana River. So you could potentially take a longer route, but let gravity take over. And that's one of the things I guess the engineers are going to look at. But what was most interesting,
you'd need more pipes, but would it be cheaper?
Might be more cheaper.
Yeah.
I don't know. But what's interesting about that, Coy, is one of the members of the board talked about how that could potentially open up new areas of the county to development. If you've got this pipeline running along the river in the rural areas of Albemarle County,
hello,
north of the North Fork Ravana River is rural area for the most part. And he said, you know, David Slutsky is talking about this transfer of development rights initiative. It needs a receiving area to get these development rights from the rural countryside. So we've heard developers saying they want more places to build. And he was connecting the dots here and saying, this is potentially one place where if you have to run the sewer line there, that could be a
logical
place. It could
open up some more areas of development. And again, this is where?
This is along the North Fork Ravana River, which you cross as you're heading up 29 North. This is well past the airport, but before you get to NGIC. The North Fork of the Ravana River then runs east. And interestingly, after it passes the Ground Intelligence Center and the land that Wendell Wood just sold them, for another about 2.5 miles, it runs along Wendell Wood's property, about 500 acres.
Currently undeveloped.
In the rural area north of the river.
Ka-ching.
Which is an area where that pipe might be placed. So that's an important conversation, I think, for the community to keep an eye on.
Yeah, interesting. But at the end of the day, the folks who pay the taxes here and pay the rates and pay for the water are going to see higher rates to fund this infrastructure that will make new development possible.
It will be seen both in rates paid by current users, but also in connection fees paid by new users, commercial and residential.
Good point. Brian Wheeler is the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow. He joins us on Tuesday afternoons on this little show to talk growth and development. And Brian, there's a proposal. Somebody has raised a flag to see if anybody would salute. And this flag has a picture of a bridge on it, and it goes over a river, and it connects downtown Charlottesville, or not really downtown Charlottesville, but
Woolen Mills.
Woolen Mills neighborhood.
Or the East High Street area.
Yeah, with Pantops. Because right now the only thing that connects them is Interstate 64 and Free Bridge.
That's right.
Where do I sign up? Where do I salute? I'm going to salute right now. Dun, 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 dun.
Now, why are you all for it?
As somebody who, for not so much anymore, but Allison and I used to run down there quite a bit. We used to take our kids down there. As a matter of fact, just a couple of months ago, this summer, we took them down there to ride bikes.
On the Ravanna Trail?
Yeah, on the Ravanna Trail. Great place to walk.
It's paved right there, so it's really nice.
Yeah, and I wish they hadn't paved it. I wasn't a big fan of that.
Huh.
I like the trail feel. It was more natural. Now I get down there, sort of feels like Northern Virginia. Anyway, they paved it, so big deal. I'm not going to lose any sleep over it. But we go down there a lot. It's beautiful. Great place to go. I think it would be great to have a nice bridge that goes over to Pantops. You could go down and hike with the kids and then, you know, walk over to Pantops and go to the Taco Bell or, you know, I don't know. It's just, I think it would be
Bell,
nice.
Just have a fire.
Yeah, go to the burned down Taco Bell. I forgot about that.
But beyond that.
Yeah, yeah. After they clean it up.
I hear you. Well, Randy Salzman is the activist that's brought this up. And he's been advocating this project to the Metropolitan Planning Organization. That's one of those little boutique meetings that Charlottesville Tomorrow enjoys covering. And Sean Tubbs, my colleague at the office and fellow pie expert, Sean put this story up last week in our news center. And the exact location is really not determined. So nobody along the path of the river should be getting overly excited or overly concerned. But his idea is, you know, you've got major employment centers moving into the county, i.e. Martha Jefferson. You've got State Farm expanding up there. And what's interesting, if you look at the map that Sean did on our news center on this story, is the proximity of State
Farm. I'm going to go look at it right now.
The State Farm to Riverview Park down at the end of Woolen Mills. And I was shocked. I mean, I know the lay of the land here, but I was shocked at how close they are. Because I always think of, you know, whatever's on the other side of the river is the Pantop Shopping Center. You know, that if you're going to put a bridge there, you're connecting the shopping center to Woolen Mills. But really, Woolen Mills is nowhere near the shopping center as you look. So it's much further downstream.
Yeah.
So I think one of the
right across from Woolen Mills is actually a cliff.
Right. And that's one of the challenges of a pedestrian bridge.
You're going to have to do it where the river bends, where it flattens out there, and right there is an apartment complex that's behind the shopping center.
And Charlottesville Tomorrow interviewed the Parks and Rec folks in the city and the county about this project, since it would connect the city and the county. And both pointed out that they like the idea of pedestrian bridges like this. Chris Jenzik in the city said the city right now has other top bridge priorities, however. It's trying to focus on connecting both sides of McIntyre Park over the railroad tracks. It's trying to connect.
Yeah, you need that.
It's trying to connect Penn Park to Darden Tow Park over the river. That's north of where we're talking about.
That would be
right
very
here.
Cool.
So the city has some other priorities. They're not opposed to more pedestrian bridges, I think for a lot of the same reasons you like it. But potentially it connects employment. What Mr. Salzman is saying is, hey, let's help people get out of their cars. If you're trying to build the Eastern Connector to help mitigate traffic concerns on Free Bridge, let's help make it easier for people to get to the office by walking or riding their bike.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of, you know, natural logic to that. On the county side of things, where that cliff is, Dan Mahan from Albemarle County pointed out that you got to deal with the floodplain, you got to deal with that cliff, and there would be some challenges. And, of course, funding it is a challenge always.
But we should point out, too, if somebody walks across the bridge and then you walk, you end up in Riverview Park, you're still down in Woolen Mills. It's not like you're right there in downtown.
Right. It's not a park. It's not a park and ride lot.
No, it's not. I mean, you're a hell of a walk from downtown.
And, you know, during the time the county was developing the Pantops master plan, which has been approved, a couple times they drew little arrows on the map showing, you know, a big old road idea coming from the Pantop Shopping Center down into the city. So whether that cuts through, you know, over to High Street through some of that land that's not developed along the river, or whether it would come into Woolen Mills, that got a sharp reaction from folks in the city. And I know at Charlottesville Tomorrow, we started getting emails from city folks saying, hey, we want to know everything they're talking about over in the county, because we don't really want to be connected to that.
Yeah, folks in Woolen Mills don't necessarily want to.
So it's that same interconnection story that we hear over and over again, where you've got an existing neighborhood that doesn't want to be connected.
We like our cul-de-sac.
People
we don't want the grid. It's basically what it is.
And, you know, and this, the river divides the city and the county right here. And so it's not like there'd be a school right on the other side of the river that you'd want to then let the kids walk to.
Right.
But, you know, they're looking at the jobs thing.
But I do see the priority. I think those other two bridges you mentioned are definitely priority.
But riding a bike, you know, you forget about parking your car somewhere. That would certainly open up bike access. And I think one of the things that's interesting in the county and the city right now is there's a whole lot of work going on planning trails and recreation areas. So whether it's the parks in the county and people talking about frisbee golf courses and mountain biking courses, or interconnecting the city to places like 29 North via new trails, it's pretty exciting. And, you know, you made a reference to Northern Virginia and that idea of paving, and it made you feel like that's a Northern Virginia path.
Yeah, that's what I grew up with. But every path was paved.
But, you know, when I go up and I use that Mount Vernon trail and ride my bike from, like, Alexandria towards Mount Vernon.
That is beautiful. I'll give you that. That is really deluxe.
And it's a super highway for bikes.
Yeah.
I mean, they even have little clover leaves and tunnels.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's like you're on an interstate for bicycles, and it gets a lot of use. Of course, there are a lot more people up there.
Yeah. But it's busy all the time.
But we don't really have things like that in Charlottesville. And there are a lot of people in the community talking about adding those things, trying to promote proffers that turn over bike paths. We got a lot of that with the Biscuit Run development.
You know what
county.
I would love? I'd love a path like that went from, like, downtown to Crozet. Wouldn't that be cool? I would ride my bike to work. If there was something like that and you didn't have to get on 250, there was just a really cool paved path with two lanes that went from downtown out to Crozet. That would be so awesome.
You could eat a lot of pie if you're doing that every day.
Yeah, amen. We're talking with Brian Wheeler, the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow. Tonight, the Albemarle County Planning Commission has a huge meeting. And you expect a lot of people for this one?
No.
I said huge meeting because this is a big topic, but it's not
I'm not expecting a lot of people, although maybe once I
they are start, having a public hearing.
It's public. Well, they always have public hearings. This one, I'm back again to the river. I don't know why we ended up with all these Ravanna River stories, but here's a new development being proposed. This is Albemarle County. It's 102 housing units. It's up 20 North. You know where the McDonald's is? You leave Pantops.
I do. They have a very small little playground in there.
Oh, okay.
I wish we had more playground fast food places, but we don't.
Okay. Note to all commercial developers, Coy is looking for...
I wish we did, yeah. You got to drive all the way up to Ruckersville to get a big, nice indoor fast food playground up at the Taco Bell up there.
All right. Well, once you pass that...
You notice these things when you have kids under six.
There's a big expanse of trees on the left side before you hit the Elks Lodge and Darden Tow. So this is being proposed right between basically the McDonald's. There's another little commercial building in there, but think between the McDonald's and Darden Tow.
Between 20 and the river?
Yes.
Okay.
And they're trying to cluster the development, these 102 units and commercial space, over on the 20 side so that access would be through Route 20, not via that road that runs along the river, which a lot of people bike on and stuff. But they would also be proffering in their proposal here another little park in there. So they try to protect a lot of that land between their development and the river. But anyway, this is in front of the Albemarle County Planning Commission tonight for a work session. So this is...
So they're not going to vote
tonight. They're not voting tonight, but they'll give direction on it. And the county always takes public comment during Planning Commission work sessions.
So do we know...
would be able to weigh in on that.
Do we know how many cars this would mean for going into that major intersection on Pantops?
You know, I bet it is in the staff report, and I'll flip through here and see if I can find it. But what the
many thousands, I would assume.
I don't know.
Daily car trips?
That may be too many.
100,000? 500,000?
No, it's not that many.
4 million car trips a day?
But I can tell you that the staff didn't raise that as a significant concern. They're more concerned about the size of the commercial aspects of the development. And they didn't really raise a red flag.
Commercial aspects. I thought it was just 102 homes.
It's a mixed use. So it's neighborhood model. They want to rezone it to the neighborhood model.
Oh, so it's homes and a little shopping center.
Homes and a little commercial and retail space.
Interesting. And again, that's for 20 North. just past the McDonald's on the left. What is that shopping? What's that neighborhood on the right that goes up the mountain?
Well,
which has some of the best views in town.
Yeah, there's a number of them up there, and I
can't. Aviemore is one. That's the newer one.
Is that Fontana?
It's Fontana. Yeah.
And
boy, they got some great views.
Coming
up there.
Soon, and there's Cascadia, which is another big development that'll be adjacent to Fontana. There is a lot going on up there.
Yeah.
So that's the news on that project. The other project.
Interesting. And that's the Planning Commission work session tonight. There's also a public hearing tonight
on something a little nitty gritty zoning text amendment, but it has big implications. Relates to storage yards in industrial areas. And you may remember the famous Faulkner construction project out in Ivy. And this is ever since the county ran into the public opposition to that project in Ivy and concerns about their current zoning ordinance, the Board of Supervisors said, hey, and they said this in 2005, let's see if we can take a look at this and make it easier to differentiate between heavy industry and light industry.
So we don't run into this problem again.
Right. And so
which all that got approved, right?
That was approved over the county's objections. Faulkner won in court.
Sued.
Faulkner had to sue the county, and they won.
So the community said, no, we don't want you here with this industrial thing on this road right next to an elementary school, and they sued and they won.
Well, it was interesting. The public actually sued the county and lost. The case was not heard by the state Supreme Court, and then the county decided to reject it anyway because of the concerns raised by the public. We won't get into the details of that, but then Faulkner sued the county and prevailed. So they've got the green light to develop. They have not developed yet out in Ivy. They're still on their place up on Woodburn Road, which is up behind the SPCA up 29 North.
Right.
But the point of this is that staff are coming forward now, following up on the Board of Supervisors' request, saying to the Planning Commission, hey, here's a way we think we can better differentiate between what's really heavy equipment, heavy vehicles, and more like heavy industry, and what's really okay to store and work on and maintain in a light industrial business park. So the county's putting forward that information.
Are they going to vote on that tonight?
It is a public hearing, so I do expect them to take action on that tonight. They would then send it to the Board of Supervisors, so there will be another opportunity for public input down the road. We'll see if they make any changes, but Charlottesville Tomorrow will have the podcast and we'll report
on
that
tonight. Well, any changes to zoning laws are really interesting, and people should sort of sit up and, you know, okay, what's going on there? And pay a little bit of extra attention.
Well, and it's important because the county's having a big discussion right now about light industrial zoning. And is there enough of it? Should there be more of it? Will Yancey is a developer who wants to do a project out in Western Albemarle, and he's been in front of the Planning Commission. We've reported on that. So he would like to build a new light industrial business park out near the Yancey Lumber Mill out in Crozet. So that's an area of new. He would like it to be new light industrial zoning. This storage yard zoning text amendment, if approved, would impact what he's trying to do.
And make it possible?
Well, it would allow the county to better differentiate the types of uses that could go in there. It could say if a user wants to go in there and do things that are more heavy industrial, they'd have to get a special use permit to do that. Whereas today, it would be allowed by right. So today, light industrial zoning allows a lot of these things to happen by right. That was the problem at Faulkner in Ivy because it was a by right use and the community didn't like it. And ultimately, the supervisors
didn't like it. Thought
it was
too heavy use for light industrial.
Right.
That it was heavy industrial.
Right.
And it was slipping in under the light industrial definition.
Correct.
There you go. You have a couple of quick items here that we want to get to before we let you go.
Quick item list. You can never talk enough about pie or bricks on the mall. And the Board of Architectural Review last
or
week.
Or pie that makes you feel like you've eaten bricks on the mall.
Oh, that would be bad.
There's some of that.
but bricks on the mall, they have approved the big bricks, the big 4x12 inchers. So that's what's out there now, today. And interestingly,
I'm confused.
Okay, they want to replace all the existing 4x12-inch bricks with new 4x12-inch bricks, but not with mortar. They're going to set them on sand.
So they're not changing the size of the bricks.
They're keeping the size the same. They're getting rid of the mortar, and they're redoing the base. And
so it's going to look like what's next to the theater that they redid just a few months ago.
Except bigger bricks. The same size bricks that are on the surface of the mall today. The side streets and the road crossings will have smaller bricks, like what you see next to the Paramount today. Okay. It's about interesting. The an architect professor at UVA, Bill Morish, he worked for Halprin, the guy who designed the downtown mall back in the 70s. And he pointed out that Halprin never intended to put mortar between the bricks. It was a change order that the city initiated because they were afraid that women's heels were going to get stuck with the mortar.
Which they don't.
Well, ironically, they do now.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the mortar is sort of settling and breaking and cracking.
So the guy who originally designed the downtown mall
said no mortar. Just
said no mortar, and the city changed it and said, well, we want mortar. And that's one of the reasons we're having all these problems.
Yes, that's how I would put it.
Architect one, city zero. So what is
this? So we're starting over on the downtown mall. And the other sort of good news is I guess they've found two other places that will make these 4x12-inch bricks. Before, they thought they could only be found in Nebraska. Now they can be found in North Carolina and Pennsylvania because they've realized this is going to be a huge brick order. So these other companies in North Carolina and Pennsylvania...
We'll make your bricks.
We can make a mold for that.
Honey, we're going to get that boat now.
So, you know, I'll be optimistic. I always try to see the glass half full. Maybe the price will come down a little bit. You know, they can competitive bid against three brick companies on these bricks.
Yeah. There you go.
Maybe we'll save a little money.
And the news from Greene County is the Walmart Supercenter is delayed.
We don't typically talk about Greene County, but I knew you were interested in all things Walmart.
Yeah.
And, you know, they've cleared a lot of land up in Greene County on 29, but this is a project that's now being slowed down. Walmart is reevaluating its growth strategy, they were quoted as saying.
So instead of building it now, they're going to start...
They'll open it spring 2010.
Spring 2010.
They were hoping to have it 2008, late 2009. Now it's 2010.
There you go. So don't rush out to the Walmart in Greene County just quite yet.
But the Lowe's is still moving along, and actually you can see the foundation of that coming out of the ground right now.
And the new Harris Teeter going up in Crozet on 250. The walls are going up.
I haven't driven by that lately, but I'll have to go take some pictures.
That's really moving along. Brian Wheeler, the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow, online at SeaVilleTomorrow.org. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you, Coy.
Y'all have a great night.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeaVillePodcast.com for more.